This is the BBC Light Programme.
And so say all of us, Warren.
I say it's dashed decent of you to concur.
Isn't it? What's this 1957 bill of fare, mate?
It's a goon show called The Rent Collectors.
Now, yes.
In a lonely mountain bog in the Pennines, the chill wind blew a tattered fragment of newspaper onto the face of a sleeping gentleman.
Moriarty, do you see that fragment of newspaper which has just been blown onto the frontal lobes of that disgusting Lithuanian shepherd?
Yes, hand me my mutton chop telescope.
There you are.
Yes, I can read it. Good pipe! Listen to this.
What?
Crown and Partners, commissioners for oaths, will pay handsomely for men willing to face the hazards of rent collecting in the Fian district of East Acton.
Moriarty, quick, let's do it!
What's next now? Mr. Patrick Murphy, of no fixed abode, 7 pence halfpenny behind in his rent. Mickey. What? Henry. Ah, drat that modern melody woman. What does it mean?
The cat wants to go out.
What makes you think that, Min?
He just put his hat and coat on.
Dear, oh dear, why do we have to have a loony moggy that insists on wearing a hat and coat? Why can't he be like other cats and just wear a knitted pullover, I guess? Now, where was
it? Because the dog's wearing the pullover, you know that.
No.
It's his turn to wear the pullover, you know that.
Well, Now, back to my writings. Mrs. Spawn, 11 and 4 pence. What is it now, Minnery?
Can't you hear, Henry? There's no one knocking at the door.
Then I won't answer it, Min. You never know who it might not be.
But it might not be somebody we know.
Oh, then I'd better see who isn't there.
Good evening. My name is Gritpipe Finn.
Yeah, when am I going to park this plate in?
Later, right. Later, Neddy, later.
Hey, Sri, no posh chat yet?
Yes, you'll get your posh chat later,
no
Neddy.
No red lies on my skin, do you? Hey, Sri, well, yes. It's all right for some.
You're going on a
bit. Need a lot of new, hern.
Now, get back in the wings, will you?
There'll be no brandy left for you, then.
Now, Moriarty. Will you do the talking while I take the part of Mr. Crown?
All right, Gritpipe. Now, are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready. Now, what do you want?
We want the job as rent collectors.
Yes, well, the job is...
Yes?
Collecting the rent from some tenants of ours.
Oh.
You see, they owe us £8,000, 11 and 4 pence in arrears.
In arrears?
Of which £1,000 is yours, if you can collect it.
£1,000? We'll do it. Well, what's the address?
Death Grange, Slaughter Hill.
That place?
Yes.
We'll never do it, Gritpipe. It's more than our life's worth to go
what
to
what about a... me? What about the acting part in a castor on the back of drinking brandy all night? I've been doing me in it there.
Why not? You always do.
Wait a minute. Come here, little Neddy. Put down that goatskin full of brandy. And answer me one question. Have you ever heard of Death Grange, Slaughter Hill?
No. Is it a holiday camp?
Oh! Yes, the Charlie.
Yes. I'll do the talking, Moriarty.
Right, and I'll put in the punctuation.
Neddy.
Come on.
Homer, how would you like to earn £5?
Question mark.
All you have to do is to go and collect the rent from Death Grange.
Full stop.
Certainly. How do I...
Just get on this bus.
Does it go past the house?
Yes, but you can jump off.
Right. Goodbye.
Fast, please. Oh, fast, please.
Slaughterhill, please.
Slaughterhill? You're asking for trouble. You are.
No, I'm asking for a ticket. You're too tall for me. Fourpenny won't believe.
Fourpence? It's sixpence to Slaughterhill.
Oh, righto. Little does she know that it's actually ninepence.
Little does he know that I'm not even the conductress on this bus. Slaughterhill!
Well, stop the bus then!
Not likely. It won't catch our stop in here. You'll have to jump for it.
Right, hop!
Oh, dear children. Look what has happened to poor Uncle Harry.
He's fallen in the water.
On arrival in the canal, Seagoon immediately inflated his May West, blew up his rubber dinghy, put on his water wings, and sank like a stone. Which, of course, brings us to Max Geldrey.
Which one are you answering?
You.
Gad, you're cutting it fine.
Now, Neddy, what's all the noise about?
I have it on good authority that I'm drowning.
For a fee of 1 and 6, we can salvage you.
Right.
Thank you. And here is a waterproof receipt.
Just the thing for my submerged accountant.
James Ruffin.
And now... I'm going down for the third time!
The second time! That'll be another 7 pence.
What for?
For keeping count of the number of times you go down.
Thank you.
Now, please help me out. I've paid you 2 shillings already.
2 and a penny, Neddy. And that'll be another 0.5 crown for keeping your account. Now, let us help you into the boat.
No! No, Neddy. Do you want to be taken ashore?
Of course.
1 shilling, please.
I haven't any more money.
No more money?
No!
What am I in, friends?
Dear listeners, left alone in the canal with no hope of rescue, I was forced to swim to the bank and climb out. Gas!
Hello. What is your name?
Constable.
Caught you in the act, didn't I, my dear? Swimming in the canal, thereby contravening by law 37.
But I had to swim, oh toothless one. Otherwise I'd have drowned.
There are no law in this village against drowning. Only swimming. Swimming is a criminal offense. You're not to appear before the magistrate, my dear. Ain't nobody swam in the canal since old Jim Prong fell in. Since old Jim Prong fell in dead drunk in his long underwear.
And did he have to go in front of the magistrate?
He was the magistrate. Ah. Say it again, my little darling. You heard what he said. Come on, you're for the High Court a little filth, Mac. But don't worry, my dear, I'll stand by you.
Why?
It'll make me look taller.
Dutch disease, the curse of the seagull!
Silence and culture. The court will stand for his worship, the Lord Chief Magistrate of Little Phil's Map.
Hello, me old dears. Now then, is everybody nice and comfortable? Nobody's worried about you. Here, and keep away from them pigs. We don't want them to catch anything before the cattle show. Right, now I declare that I will try the prisoner fairly and that I am entirely unbiased one way or the other, right?
Right, sir.
Good. Now, Tom, just run across the road and get some good strong rope. Now then, Mr. Spriggs, did the jury swear the oath?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Did the prisoner swear?
I never heard such language, sir.
Right, then proceed with the evidence.
Right, sir. The prisoner was apprehended while swimming in the canal. When brought before me, he was soaking wet and dripping without due care and attention. I asked him his name, and he said it was Tissue.
Chinese prisoner, eh?
What nonsense! My name is
You see, he admits it, sir.
You've heard all the evidence. Now, what should we do to the prisoner?
Hang him. Little bootlad, 2 hangings this year. We only had one.
It'd be a chance of catching up with him, wouldn't it?
Let's hang him now.
Oh, no. Come.
Come on, hang him now.
No.
You can't beat the long sticks like it.
No, you can't hang him now. Got to get the tickets printed and send the invitations out.
Yes, and then there's the village band. They'll have to get some practice in.
They were shocking last time.
No, that wasn't
fair to the prisoner. I mean, you could see he was upset. Well, this time we must pick a nice tune. Something like, where be that there blackbird too? I know where he be.
He knows I knows he. He knows I be at the ree. Oh, where be that blackbird too? Up that where's our tree.
Thank you very much. Very kind of you, but save it for the hanging, if you don't mind.
This is ridiculous. You can't hang me.
He's right, you know. He hasn't got a neck.
Yeah. All right, then. All right, my dear. 100 years hard labour.
100 years? I'll never do it.
Well, do as much as you can.
I insist on appearing.
Oh, well, you'll have to see the squire about that. You'll find him at Death Grange.
Death Grange?
Death Grange.
Death Grange. Death Grange.
What a bit of luck, dear listeners. That's the place where I have to collect the rents. I can kill two stones with one bird.
All right, I'll show you the way, old man. Just follow me. Have you heard the story of old Mother Hubbard? I'm sure that everyone knows. Now you must have heard it, but if you haven't, this is the way it goes. Old Mother Hubbard went to the cupboard to get her doggy a bone. When she got there, the cupboard was bare, so the poor little doggy had none. Now the little dog sat with his head on the mat, so hungry he wanted to cry. But he wagged his tail and he barked, ooh, ooh, looked at Hubbard straight in the eye. Doggone, said the little dog, that ain't the thing to do. If you were hungry and you wanted a bone, I'd find one someplace for you. So old Mother Hubbard just closed up a cupboard and she went out into the street. And the little dog whined, if you can't get a bone, Hubbard, bring me some meat. Old Mother Hubbard just blabbered and blabbered and cried like a heart would break. Being told off by her own little dog was more than Mother Hubbard could take. Now the dog didn't know that petrol was rationed, and what's more, he didn't care. He knew there were bones someplace in this world, and he merely wanted to share. Doggone, said the little dog, that ain't the thing to do. If you were hungry and you wanted a bone, I'd find one someplace for you. So old Mother Hubbard just closed up a cupboard and she went out into the street. And the little dog whined, if you can't get a bone, Hubbard, bring me some meat. Don't want no nylons, can't read a book, ain't interested in the new look of Hubbard's. Hubbard, Hubbard, Hubbard's. Hubbard's.
Nightfall. I reached the Grange. A tall, gaunt building with a belt at the back. Through a crack in the portcullis, I perceived two of the inmates and managed to overhear their conversation.
It's strange. Do you like exercise, girls? Why didn't you earn them?
I'm not here yet.
I'm hearing things. Say something, little friend. Take all a little water. I'm glad I have got company. Strain!
Oh, no, Button. What are you doing? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Hey, now, Button, all nine was outside. I heard you straining inside.
Yes, I was straining.
Were you straining from the inside?
I was straining from the inside while I was inside outside.
Yeah, fine, fine. I love all that Aldous Huxley stuff. I love that one. Now then, what were you straining for, Bartol?
It's my new correspondence course in muscle type development. Straining the tight heaves.
Do some.
Heaving tight strains. Pull tug. Wrench lift. Wicky wicky wicky. Makes funny face. Wait for applause, not a sausage. Pull Dudley. My cardboard wrist strap has flown off my muscular wrist.
Yeah. You're going all the way down to your ankle without touching your body, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, when did you start this muscle type pose?
I'm starting it as soon as I can get this brown paper parcel open. Cardboard heat!
Oh, that's my trousers.
Oh, look, there it is. A Munro chest expander. Arthur Millen recommended me to this, you know, Dad.
Oh. He must have had the view from the bridge then.
Yeah. It says here, guarantee to put 2 inches on your chest.
Well, let me see how big your chest is before you start. Lift up your arms. Here, let me help you. Well, let me see now. 8 inches. Including shoulders, yeah?
8 inches? Oh, if I'd known my chest was as big as that, I would not have sent for this silly stuff.
8 inches isn't very big, you know, but all.
No, but I was breathing out. Oh. When I breathe in, it is different, you know. What? Look. No.
7.5.
See the difference?
Yeah.
Now, this chest expander can to put 2 inches on.
Two?
Watch this. Stretch in. Stretch. In. And measure it quick.
6.75.
I've been swindled. Send it back, my good man.
Very well, Lord Bluebottle. You're not really a lord, folks, but this is a gentleman's rest home. And we got a humor in here, you know.
Ah, Dr. Eccles.
What is it, my good man?
He's not really a doctor, ladies and gentlemen, only this is a gentleman's rest home and we have to human them, you know.
Major Bloodnock, sir. Enemy are approaching, sir.
What? Sound the alarm.
Hey, dude.
Bluebottle. Man the cannon. Eccles.
You are?
Man Bluebottle. Can you see anything?
Yeah, there's a man down there outside the moat.
I see. Are you the squire?
Hold your fire, lads. What tribe are you?
Tribe? I'm Welsh.
That does it. Fire!
Don't shoot! I'm Lady Siegel. I want to talk to you.
He might be a king's messenger. Let him in. But make him give the password, which is, I don't know.
I don't know. Okay. I'll go box him. Hello, my good man. Now then, what's the password?
I don't know.
Oh, we got it right first time. Come here.
Thank heaven you got through, young ensign. Now, any news of General Gordon?
General Gordon? He was killed in Khartoum.
What? This is terrible. No reinforcements. We shall never hold out against all these savage brown tribesmen. Eccles.
John Major.
Fire! And have Dull pour me another brandy, will you?
I'm sorry, sir. All the European-type brandy has all been drunk, sir.
What? Oh, Bawani, this means a horrible death by thirst.
But there's a tub full of water over there.
We can't use that.
Why not?
No soap.
How about that well?
I think it's dry.
Try it.
Well, you can soon find out by the echo. Listen. Hello?
What?
There's a man down there calling for help. Are you all right? Are you all right? Yes, I'm all right. Yes, I'm all right.
Ah, no need to bother. He's all right.
Ah,
must be
dirty. The Northwest Frontier tribesmen are attacking again without Jack.
What? Fire!
Major Bloodnut, please. What's all this about tribesmen attacking here in the middle of England?
England? You've got a touch of the sun, old lad. This is Afghanistan.
It is Afghanistan.
Adal, bring me a bottle of my last stand home-brewed whiskey. I can't bear the sight of those sun-drenched mountains any longer.
Sun-drenched mountains? Where?
Outside. I never allow them in the house.
But this is England, I tell you. Out there is a green field with trees and hedges.
So you can see them too, can you? Abdul, the mirage is stronger than ever today.
Major, look. 2,000 tribesmen are attacking our...
What? Fire!
Major,
I can't see any tribesmen attacking.
That's funny, neither can I. Hand me that bottle of whiskey here. Now I can see them.
Major Brudnock, I've come for your back rent amounting to £8,000, 11 and fourpence.
Pardon?
Your back rent, £8,000, 11 and fourpence.
I can't hear you. That blasted brass band started again.
Brass band? I can't hear them.
Have a drink of this whiskey.
That stopped them.
And the tribesmen have broken for lunch. Abdul, what's the total today?
148 bottles of brandy, sir. Shall I get some more?
Yes, 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 certainly. No, 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 I mean, certainly not. I don't want it to become a habit.
It has.
I tell you what you can do, though.
What, sir? Major, please. I must speak to you.
I want to speak to you.
The people in the village are going to hang me.
I know I've been asked to do the catering.
But they're going to hang me for nothing.
That's damn charitable of them. They usually charge all kinds of things, you know.
Please. I'm desperate, here it says. Please! I love we're desperate.
No, Ted Ray laughing, please.
Can't you send a reprieve for me?
I suppose I could, for a consideration.
All right. How much?
Well, let me see. Shall we say, £8,000, 11 and fourpence?
Ah!
That was The Goon Show, a BBC recorded programme featuring Peter Sellers, Harry Secombe and Spike Milligan, with Bernard Miles, the Relented Quartet, Max Gelbrey and the orchestra conducted by Wallace Stott. Script by Spike Milligan and Larry Stevens, announcer Wallace Greenslade, a programme produced by Pat Dixon.